So that is a place in a town called Tuxtla. It's a funny name, Tuxtla in Chiapas, Mexico. And we're going to tell you a little bit about that place today. So it's really cool. All right, so, you know, one of the things, and we're starting the series today, every Sunday when we close, we say something to the effect of, now let's go be the church. And the reason why I always want to say that and I want to hammer it home is because this is, we live our lives out there. So when we say go be the church, I mean, that's where it is. When we gather as the church, we don't come here for church. We don't come here to church. We are the church, and we are in homes, and we are in neighborhoods, and we are in schools, and we are at the workplace, and we are in our homes. I mean, we're in all those places as the church, moving in all over the place, and then we come in together as the church. And so we gather as the church. Let's go be the church. And so there's the big idea is that we want our faith to go well beyond these walls, right? I mean, I want that for you, and I want that in my own life. And so we've done things locally as well to kind of reach out into the community, quite a few things. And we've done things that have reached beyond even our community, beyond the U.S. Some of you may not even know, but we did this thing with Charity Water, a wonderful organization years ago, where we helped provide. We gave money, and every penny went to this, providing water for, it added up to 51 people in a place far away in Africa. People that did not have clean drinking water, they now have it, and that's going to impact the community for generations. And so we've done things beyond the U.S., including what we're talking about today. And so we've had a small part of helping put together 5 buildings in far, far southern Mexico. And so Jason has gone on this 4 times. I've done it twice. Clayton went, and then Rick went as well. And so we're going to be talking about that. Jason and Rick are going to come up in a second. And we're going to talk beyond. Sometimes when you hear a talk like this, the thing that people will say, and I understand why it's said, is, you know, I ended up getting more out of it than the people that I served. And so we want to put some kind of meat behind that. We want to, because when we do things like what we're talking about, then, I mean, there's mission, there's purpose, there's relationship, there's God's kingdom. I mean, there's so much stepping out of your comfort zone and stuff like that. And so that being the case, the things that we're going to talk about are very, very relatable to our everyday life. So, because we don't have to go to Mexico to step out of our comfort zone. You know, we don't have to go anywhere else but where we live in our everyday lives to take these steps of faith and to have mission and purpose and things like that. All right, and so very quickly, let me give you a rundown before I welcome them up. So let's show you where we went, and this is be a map. So to give you an idea how far it is, Chenil. So we're like as far southern Mexico as you really can go. All right, and what we've done, and I want you to keep this in mind, is we've kind of pried open the door for our church because there's going to be more opportunities for our church to do more of what I'll be talking about today. Now, the next slide, we're going to see 2 main characters that have impacted the work we're doing. So on the right, there's a man, his name is Carol. He's 85 years old. And he has helped, and his wife Becky have put up dozens and dozens of buildings for churches. Now, these churches are very, very well established, right? So it's not the hope, like sometimes here's that, you know, you have the building and then people will come. They go into communities, they build relationships, they build churches, and then through a kind of a vetting process, people come along. People like Carol will come along and help fund the building, and then they will give the church that already exists a building to meet in. All right, and then it's not just a building. There's medical stuff that's being done. There's an orphanage. There is there's a seminary. There is training for pastors. There's conferences. I mean, it's an astonishing organization, all they have. Now, on the left, you'll see Carol. Carol spends half his time in Mexico and his other half of the time in Colorado. What did I say? Okay, we got Russell on the left. And so, this guy is very, very interesting. This guy, I'm not sure what he does for a living, but I think he does all right. He has businesses that kind of, I don't know what he does, but he runs this organization 6 months out of Mexico. He doesn't get paid a dime. And he's doing just fine, you know. And but he leads the Mexican team. He's been there for, what, 25, 30 years? I mean, a really, really long time. And so he's basically a local. Like, he knows everybody down there, the system, the process, everything that you'd ever want, they have put together. So what we did is that we went down, we joined an American team, that's Carol's team, and we went down and met the Mexican team, and that's Russell's team. And then together, we partner with a local team, and then we build a building. All right, so we show up, and then the concrete walls are up. And then what usually takes 4 days, we do everything else. And we're going to talk about that. This time, it actually took 3 days. So it was pretty interesting. All right, so now I'm going to ask Rick and Jason to come up here. They're going to share a mic. They're going to get to sit. I've never once gotten applause. The first time Vince ever came up, he got applause. I never got applause. Now they get crying out loud. All right, so y'all are going to share this. Here, let me get this through the middle. All right, so see, they're already messing with you. Should have seen them on the trip. So so to start off, there's something that people are always wondering about. All right, they're wondering is, do you feel like, did you get sick? Did you feel like you were in danger? And then another one is, how hard was the work? And I mentioned, from my perspective, the only time I felt in danger was when we were on the way to and from the airport when Teresa was taking us. It was really, and I mentioned that, but that was the only time I felt any sort of danger. So, all right, so for you two, now Jason, you might have to go back to when you first went, but let's start with you, Rick. Like, what? Did you have any apprehension about going?
No, I didn't have any. The only time I really felt any kind of concern was when I got pulled out at the airport out for security, and that was the only time, because I couldn't speak Spanish and the two ladies couldn't speak English, so yeah, that was it.
Yeah, well, you're deep in Mexico and you get your name called over the loud intercom. That's like, all right.
Any kind of apprehension I had was based on what I'd heard of previous trips, and none of that ever took place, the bandits or anything like that. So it was never any kind of concern.
Okay, what about if you have to reach back, maybe this time too?
I think some of it's just the unknown. You hear people that go ahead of you, they do a good job of prepping, and you get to talk to people that have gone year after year, but every year is different. This year that I went has been like no other year, and same for all of that. And so I think some of it's just the unknown because of where you are and how far you are. But the good news is that's quickly resolved with your team that you leave the States with, and then even more comforting once you meet up with the Mexican team, especially with all of Russell's experience. You don't ever think anything about it. And I was sad the bandits didn't come for Rick, but...
The bandits. Yeah, there are bandits out there. Bandidos. They don't call themselves bandits. They actually... So that... But, you know, as she said, that there's so much of the things that the team does. Like, everything you worry about. Like, okay, don't drink that water, but you can drink that. That's been boiled. Remember, stay away from that. Like, everything is completely covered. So there's really no danger. Now, as far as the sickness, as far as the times before, no one had ever gotten sick. This time they did, but it wasn't from really the type of sickness you worry about going to Mexico. Someone seemed to have brought something over because, you know, you kind of had two groups of people. We all mixed together, but two groups that spent more time together. And the group that we were part of, we really didn't get any of that, the people that were together. So someone seemed to have brought something over. And so there was some sickness. But those are the type of things that are a reality. And so here's something that we have to remember, though, because there's things in our everyday life that we're going to want to, you know, keep us. The Lord's going to call us to do things, but we can't let fear get in the way of wherever it is that the Lord is sending us. So it's not just Mexico, it's our everyday life. We can't be afraid. And it's so easy to become afraid, so we kind of talk ourselves out of it, and, well, I just don't know, and all that type of stuff, and we just can't let that happen. All right, so the first, and it'll be different for both of you, first impression of the Mexican team once we got there.
The team was really great. You know, it was different because we get out at the airport and walk out of the terminal, and they say, well, we're going to walk over here and put our luggage in the truck, and then a van's going to come by, walk over there, and everybody jump in the van real quick because the taxi drivers don't like it when the van pulls up. But the team was great. They were really good people, really friendly, and I can't say enough about them.
Yeah, and you were going to talk about there was a couple. Go ahead. But before that, one of the things is that the scriptures tell us to be hospitable. Like, that's commanded. You know, that's what we are to be. And anybody can be nice. You can welcome people and just be a nice person. But it's so hard to describe. They embrace you. Particularly when we got to our home base, which is a place called Chinalope, they embrace you like they are your long lost, like you haven't seen them in 20 years, but you were dear friends type thing. And it's, you have to experience it because it's unlike anything that we're used to because we're so guarded here. And so they so welcome you. And again, they're Christ followers. The people that are going are Christ followers. So we have Christ in common, and we have this mission in common. So there's already some very important things that are there. So go ahead.
I would say, there's a family there in Chinalope that is kind of the head family of the Mexican team. And all the way from mom and dad, all the way down to siblings, to cousins. I mean, there's 30 of them. And they come and welcome us when we get there and greet, and send us off. But around where we stay are houses, and they're not necessarily people that are part of the ministry, but they know people are coming, and they know that the Americans are there to come help and serve their community. And so they come out, and the hospitality is definitely something that I always think of, even when you go out to the village, because we have a lot to learn from them in that. And then we double and triple translate. I mean, it's English to Spanish to Zoxil to Sital sometimes. But yet, the week you have loved on each other and gotten to know each other despite the language barrier that there is. And I think this year the impactful part was a new couple had joined the Mexican team, Luis and Berenice, and they had a little bitty 5-month-old Seth with them this time. And she's a biochemical engineer, and he is something, computer science programming something. They are originally from another state in Mexico. And they have given up. And in Mexico, both of those professions, they may not be as lucrative as they are here, but those are both great jobs to have in Mexico because most people are not that educated. And they both have given it all up to join Russell and his team to serve. And they are serving their people and in different tribes of their people. And so I found that this year just to be inspiring in a lot of ways.
It is. And so right now we're going to show you kind of let's take a look. We have, so when we were driving up, so we have a home base. It's like a compound. It's huge. And so we stay there in the town, and it's neat because you'll see kids that are kind of just looking, just wanting to wave, and they're just kind of fascinated. It's interesting. But then we were driving around. We had to drive 2.5 hours to get to where we would be building every day. And that was interesting, too, the 2.5 hours. You had something about that jumped out to you.
Yeah, it's amazing to see because every year we get further and further out. And my first year, we maybe drove 45 minutes to the very first village of Yashalumil. And now we're driving 2.5 hours one way. But the really cool thing about that is that shows that in the year that we're there or not there, how many other teams are going and how that radius has just grown so much that's how far now that we have to drive to get to people that haven't been reached. And then the van rides there, the first few days you're like, wow, this is really long ways. But by the end of the week, that's just such a time of fellowship with the American team, and you've really gotten to know everybody in a deeper way.
Right, and that is what's impressive is that when we've helped build buildings for these pastors, so there's been 5 of them. What's amazing is that every pastor, they don't just have a church and then they're done. they will go out and continue to go further and further away to reach more people. So every one of them will start between 15 and another 30 churches that other pastors are raised up. So it's an amazing thing. But you go further and further into the mountains, and it's amazing. Would you say something?
Well, one of the things about the team there, Luis, that she was talking about, he'll come alongside you if you've got any kind of mischief to do, but he'll rat you out in a heartbeat. So,
yeah. Well, that's the thing, is that you have the type of friend. You don't even, actually, he speaks English fluently, so that's one benefit. But that's where we show up. We're turning, weaving in and out, and then we show up to that space, and that's what we're looking. That's the very first time we get a look at it. So you see, they've done the whole shell of it, and then we'll see a little bit more later, but it's really a beautiful, like, Colorado type setting. All right, so what about, was there anything that, and any part of this trip or even earlier trips that it was kind of a new thing, out of their comfort zone type of thing? Have anything?
I never felt the pushback, the internal pushback from it being out of my comfort zone. I think one of the things I could have done different, you know, at night after dinner, they would gather in the common area there and visit with the team. I would always go to the room and reflect on the day and write, you know, what I felt. So I think I could have done that differently, but, I mean, it wasn't a comfort zone thing.
Most of the pushbacks happen in advance of before you ever go. It's you feel a little like Jason and I traveled together for the first time to Mexico, you know, and it's like, so you have some apprehension about being together on a trip. So one of the things that we found out about a neighboring town named Cholula, this is pretty striking. They're experiencing New Testament type of persecution, like gasoline, we're holding a match, renounce your faith type stuff. They don't mess with Americans. They mess with people who are going against all the traditions they've had for years. And a lot of their traditions are a mixture of all sorts of different types of faith. And so when you kind of renounce that stuff, you know, they don't care about Americans. They almost expect that. But when they see someone of their own turn, then it gets, you know, and so we heard a story about that specific thing. They didn't drop the match that time, and the person goes off and ends up starting a bunch of churches. I mean, it's truly amazing. So when you're hearing these stories and you're driving through these communities, you know, it's a lot of stuff. I mean, it's stuff that you don't expect. They don't have a police force. They kind of take care of it in-house. It's like, whoa. But no, but it's a healthy thing. It works out well, you know, in the community. All right, so we're going to put up a picture. Just kind of a couple things as we talk about. As we talk about some of the work. We're going to talk about some of the stuff that jumped out. And so let's see. Rick, why don't we start with you? Why don't you talk about, we went and visited the coffee farm.
So what we did, we went down, there was several people that wanted some coffee, so we went down to the farm that they had, and it really stuck with me because the people there, you know, they don't have much, but you had the men bringing out their dining table, setting it up on the patio. And then you had the women bringing out coffee, tortillas, and beans to feed us and give us that. And they were doing it with a sense of urgency. And these people didn't have much. They were given what they had. They gave several bags of coffee that was right off out of the fields and had been ground right there in that house. So, you know, they're giving out of what little they have. And, you know, sometimes I look at myself and think, wow, I've got plenty, but I'm not willing to give. So, you know, it stuck with me. It really did.
All right. And what about, and let's stay with Rick a little bit because we have a few more things and then we'll switch over. There was when we first got there, we went to a church gathering that was already established by the same group of people, and it was right. I mean, literally, you can't be late. But I mean, if you walk out your door where you're staying, and it's probably 30 steps, so it's right there. And so, part of that jumped out to you.
The first part of it that jumped out was I walked out a little bit early, j- just to see what the weather was and just walk out. Yeah. And there were people lined up to get into the church. The church wasn't open yet, but they were lined up out there. And then during the service, when they were giving their offerings, they were doing it with such joy. You know, there was a song that was going on, and they were in a procession up to the front of the church there to give their offerings. And not at this one, but one of the other churches, when they were giving their offerings, somebody had brought 4 eggs and put up there. So, you know, they're giving out of what they have. You know, I always looked at myself as being pretty faithful about giving, but not after seeing them.
Yeah, that's pretty striking. And one more thing, Rick, Jason, we'll get to you in a second. I want you to talk about the orphanage as well, because that was after we had done the building. We're kind of heading back toward the airport. We're going to go to the airport and all that. So,
for me, the orphanage was pretty tough, because we walked in there and you see the picture there, the little kids, they're just all over, and it just the three there that are with me. All three of them were coming up, hugging on me, and you know, and then this one here, she kept grabbing my leg to keep me from moving any farther, and so it was pretty touching. And then we get over, and we're going to have lunch there, and the girl singing there that he showed a while ago, that was pretty tough, because it brought up memories of my granddaughter Kirsten. That kind of hurt. But then I got to watching, and one of the little girls, she was blind, and she's up there and she's singing like it's just singing from her heart, and it was just so touching. Then we get over to the other side where the little boys are, and they're playing around, and you know, you got a little one-year-old that's crying, and I had to get down on my knees and just kind of talk to him a little bit. And it was just, but you know, as tough as it was, I look at it and they couldn't be in a better place because of all right. The love that's available to them, and all the, you know, they're going to be trained, and when they get grown, they're going to be able to go out into their society and actually work. So, you know, it was tough, but just understanding right. the amount of love that they have there.
Right. What's interesting is, just like America, I mean, all these kids are coming up and hugging Rick, and the kids would look at me and they go, and they would just kind of, what? I don't know, I put off this thing even in Mexico, which is
interesting. But on the way one day, Ray's up there, and I don't know what he did to these kids, but all of a sudden we're driving by, and all of a sudden you hear, "Hey!" And they start pointing at him.
So I was messing with him like I do everybody else. And so, Jason, you're going to talk about the orphanage. So, Rick, what Jason's picture is, that's part of the kids program. That's also what we do, and that's really a pretty cool time. And so that was, you always find those ones on the outskirts, and those are the ones you kind of want to go to, and so that's what Jason's doing right there. But whatever you want to talk about, but include the orphanage. How there's different elements of that.
During the day, the ladies team got to help build and paint and do until the kids get out of school around 2:00, and then we go and do children's programming, which kind of looks like a vacation Bible school type of setting. And this particular village this year only had about 20 kids, which normally we serve 80 to 100 plus. So this year it was just translation from, so I spoke in English, and then Berenice took what I said in English and made it into Spanish, and then she gave it to Olga, who then spoke in Sital, Zoxiel, but this village spoke Setal. So even the kids had to kind of piece together from Zoxiel. But the really cool thing about that is you just have to love on them, play. They get the gist of your message. We taught them a verse out of Luke this year, and with God all things are possible. And to watch those kids by the end of the week just roll that off, and you could just tell trying so hard to tuck it in their hearts, and the end of the week coming up and wanting to say it to you to show you that they knew, you know, that verse that you had shared with them all week. And it's an exciting time. And then there's the orphanage, which is probably my absolute favorite. But Miss Elizabeth runs the orphanage. Her daughter, Mirari, and Mirari's husband are now trying to come alongside Elizabeth and kind of help with more of the operations, so that if and when Miss Elizabeth doesn't have the ability to do so. But this year, there's over 150 kids now in that orphanage, and there's 12 workers, including Miss Elizabeth, Mirari, and her husband. And Mirari and her husband are raising their kids in that orphanage environment. They all live there on campus, and it's been amazing to watch it change over the years. It's hidden out in the town of Tuxtla. It's gated and all that, and they prefer that the community not really, they know that they exist, but they don't really let the outside in, and that's a protection from all kinds of things. But they now, when I was there last year, they were so wanting to build a facility to house doctors, nurses, dentists, chiropractors, any sort of healthcare people, so that they didn't have to spend their own money to stay in a hotel to come serve them. And Miss Elizabeth worked for like 2 years to just get foundation laid, and kind of got to a stopping point, and she needed $20,000 more. And there's another ministry that kind of works side by side with ours, and he's a big guy here in Dallas, and he funded the $20,000 to finish it out. And the facility is amazing. And the whole bottom part is nothing but stalls, I guess, for all the stuff. But then the luxury that they have provided for people to come stay to serve them is just amazing. And again, that goes to that hospitable side of them.
It's hospitable, but the thing that surprises me is how they are so purposeful. I've never seen an organization that was so effective in how they do things. Everything, like the orphanage, it is so well run that you don't feel bad for them as far as the environment that they're in. Like, it's an amazing environment. It started off, we heard that, Elizabeth?
Mm-hmm.
Well, there were prostitutes, and they needed someone to watch their kids. So we'll watch your kids while you go do whatever you do. And then that's how it started. And from that point forward, everything from their main compound area, they have to do a conference there. I was part of a church, the first church, 18,000 people. We would put on these conferences that people came from everywhere. 4,000 people would be there. Well, in a place where people, it's very, very hard to get there just because people don't have transportation, the means to do it. They do a conference, and 6,000 people will show up. They don't have anywhere to stay. They're sleeping on the stairs. They're sleeping in the second floor, outdoor stuff like that. I mean, it's astonishing. You know, the way that they raise up pastors, the way that they send them out, I mean, it's so strategic and powering everything. It's one of the most impressive aspects. You have something on that?
Yeah, the way that the orphanage actually started, they were looking for a place to live, and the only house available was in the area where prostitution was high. And that's how it actually started. You know, God moved them. He put them in a place, and then all of a sudden, what he wanted them to do, they started doing. So,
yeah, and to kind of get close to wrapping up, you know, one of the things that is astonishing, there's the things that surprise you. Like, for some reason, I'm not sure why, you're surprised at the level of leadership. And then you're surprised that you see the type of people, that you see people and their ability to do things like sing, and you're blown away. And I don't know why, but you're just so surprised. I don't. Maybe it's because you find somebody that lives in the middle of nowhere. All of a sudden, they sing as if they've been, trained forever. And so it's astonishing. And when you see people and God working in such obvious ways, people actually they're stepping out of their comfort zones all the time to do things. I mean, if just half the stories, if we could had time to tell them, like you wouldn't believe. It's like, yeah, we need this, and we prayed, and someone came along and said, yeah, we'll give you this amount. This is what we have, and it's the exact same dollar amount to the penny. You know, and it's astonishing. Did you have something?
Just two things really quick. Miss Elizabeth can tell story after story of, and even recently, she does not get any assistance except from private outside people. She will not take any assistance in food or anything from the government because a lot of the Mexican government is corrupt, and she doesn't want their hand in any of it at all. Even when she's been down to literally her last dollar, she won't take any assistance in order to protect those kids. And she has many stories that people just leave stuff, or all of a sudden she has nothing and somebody leaves a bag of beans. Just that kind of stuff is just, just amazing. And then I lost my last thought.
Yeah, that was cool.
Yeah.
At one point, we look at a picture. It was over my shoulder, and she's pointing out someone, their very first person that they got. And she's like, yeah, she's the one that's walking around that brought us in. She's one of the workers now. And so they, like you said, they train them up and they prepare them so they don't just like send them on their way. When they get out of there, they're strong and they're skilled.
The choir you saw singing at the beginning, that's just kind of a new thing in the last year or so. And the lady that was leading the singing actually was raised in that orphanage and is now an adult. But they are singing and practicing because they just have the simple little dream to come to Texas someday and sing for a church. That's all they want to do. And so they've just been, they practice every day. And Miss Elizabeth said that they're just hoping someday that somebody comes along to sponsor them to take all those kids just for, she says, even if we go for one day, we empty a plane, go sing, and turn around and go back, just to share with those kids that their hard work, that it's not for naught, that they can share their voices and their love to other people since they don't get to get exposed outside the orphanage very often.
Right. You know, I'm just going to, there's a few things I was going to, but it's amazing that this type of thing that everybody starts talking about wanting to go back. Again, when we follow the Lord, in fact, you can put the slide up, but I'm not sure how it says it, but you know, when we desire to follow the Lord, we're going to find reasons to do it, but then when we're not really sure about it, we're going to find excuses not to. And so there's, but again, all that we're talking about is everyday life stuff. We talked a lot about how we, you know, just how this could impact our church. I'm not talking about Mexico. I'm talking about, you know, the type of faith that hopefully we're growing into, but we see so well displayed. You know, like the one that runs the orphanage, there was some need that she was not worried about, but she mentioned it like, yeah, we don't have enough for this. She kind of smiled as if she knows the Lord has provided for so many years, so many times. She's like, I'm just looking forward to seeing how God does it. I mean, it's just, you know, so it's an astonishing thing all the way around. I mean, is there anything else that you all want to add?
I think something that was big for me this year and all the years that I've gone, I've always had interaction with two gentlemen, Johnny and Carlos. Carlos is our driver, and then Johnny's part of the family, the ministry family there, and talked a lot to them. And Johnny came to the United States for about 5 years and lived outside of Atlanta. And then Carlos actually had come over at one point illegally and worked. And both of them got the American experience for a minimum of 4 or 5 years. And both of them, without even hesitation, say, America doesn't have anything better than what I have back home. And they both lived what we live and for those years, and their desire was like, I want to go back home. And Carlos will say, it's the community, it's the family feeling, it's the loving one another, and that he didn't feel even making friends and family here that he didn't get here. And I think that's one thing that's always stood out to me, is that we have a lot to learn from how they live.
Carlos was great. He was our driver, and he worked pretty hard there too. But he was great. Johnny, I didn't have a whole lot of interaction with him other than seeing his compassion when somebody else didn't want to show any compassion. She was laughing too hard.
Yeah, Rick may have taken a spill, and Jason may have laughed extremely hard.
Laughed hard enough to be crying. She had to turn her back to me. Cause...
I apologize.
No, but yeah, while you're still laughing. So that's Jason, though. I'm just going to skip a few things because we run out of time, but it's... We've just got to think about how that relates to our faith. We want to walk in faith, walk in relationship, the richness of that, and we get a taste of that, and we've gotten a taste of it here. Plenty of room to grow. And so all the things that we talk ourselves out of, let's not make excuses. Let's find reasons to follow the Lord. And so for us, it's like, okay, Lord, where do you want me to take a step in my life, within the church, within my friendships and all that? Because we don't want to miss the richest stuff. And when we go, that's what we experience, a lot of the richest stuff. And so the door's open. There's going to be a lot of opportunities. There's so many things that we can do. I mean, you can sponsor someone to go through seminary for $600. It's pretty astonishing, right? And so thank you both for coming to hang out with us. We're going to close by just showing you a video to give you an idea of some of what went on. You may have seen me take a picture with a kind of a selfie with a guy. And what so the locals, the people that they take such ownership. And so this guy, he worked right alongside of us, and we were doing a lot of with the rock and putting in for the concrete and all that. And he didn't even speak Spanish. I couldn't. He spoke, two languages separated from what I could talk to him in. But on that last day, and so we really didn't communicate. We just smiled and kind of communicated in some ways. But on the last day, he left right before that gathering started, that last gathering. And then he came up a little bit late, and he's like, "It started without me." And he was dressed up, what I'm guessing was the nicest thing that he could. He brought his family with him. And the guy was, during the gathering, he could not have been more joyful and more excited. He was clapping on 1 and 3, so that was not cool. But he had so much joy. And he could look around and say that he had a great hand in all of it, right? And so for you and me, what the Lord is doing, we desire to have... It's all about the Lord. He's the one that opens our heart, draws us to himself. With that, right along with that, there is a level of ownership we have. It's a beautiful thing. It's a wonderful thing. And being part of God's mission, being part of his vision, not only, you have to go to Mexico for that, in our everyday lives, in the schools, and in, the workplace, and in the neighborhood, and in the home where it starts, that will bring about the type of joy in our lives that we see 700 miles away, whatever, is no more like 1,000 miles away in Mexico. So the door's pride open. Our main ministry is here in our homes and here with the people that we're rubbing shoulders with. With that, the Lord's going to have us reach beyond that. All right? So let me say a prayer. Lord, thank you for the day. Thank you for your work in our hearts. Thank you for your work in that wonderful ministry out in Mexico. Lord, I pray that for every one of us, we grow in our understanding of how you work. We grow in our trust of you so that we could go against what a lot of people would do, go against our comfort zone and actually walk our faith by your leadership, by your spirit, by your grace. And Lord, I pray that as we do this, we never forget that we're to do this in partnership with one another. And that brings about amazing relationships with you as the core. It brings about results that cannot be seen otherwise, and one of those results is joy, regardless of circumstances. Thank you so much, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.